The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the first NASP monthly webinar Wednesday for the 2018-19 academic year. I'm Gail Morgan, Associate Professional Learning Director for NASP, and we greatly appreciate the help of the technical assistance of NASP's Communications Coordinator, Ned Colbert, today. Ned will be monitoring chat questions, and we'll entertain those at the end of the webinar, and also our presenter for today is also monitoring those. So we also have on site with us Erin Lurie, who is the Director of Professional Learning, and Nikki Sparks, who's Manager of Professional Learning Projects. So we thank you for joining us today, and we think that you will find this time well worth your efforts to grow in your professional learning, because as school leaders, we're always looking for ways to engage the various stakeholder groups to provide for the needs of our students. And guiding our conversation and our reflections around this topic today, we have an expert in the field who's graciously agreed to share his expertise for us to learn from. We have Dr. Joe Sanfilippo, who is the superintendent of the Fall Creek School District in Fall Creek, Wisconsin. And his district, the Fall Creek School District, was named an innovative district in 2016 and 17 by the International Center for Leadership and Education. Joe also co-hosts the Hacking Leadership podcast and has co-authored several awesome books, one of which we'll turn our focus to in today's conversation. Joe was selected as one of 117 Future Ready Superintendents in 2014 and one of 50 superintendents as a personalized learning leader by the U.S. Department of Education in 2016. And most recently, he was named one of 5 K-12 administrators to watch in 2018. By Education Dive. So we welcome and thank you today for sharing with us, Joe.
Hi, everybody. Thanks a lot for having me today. I appreciate it. And hopefully at this point we're sharing some screen. And I'm actually going to try to get into the webcam because obviously, you know, who wouldn't want to look at all of this, right? So I'm jacked up to be with you today, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to talk about hacking leadership and the work that we do as leaders to kind of, you know, move our groups forward as well as empower people around. So I am actually we're going to talk about where I'm from and the impact of that conversation moving forward. But today I am in Sterling, Illinois, with the Sterling School District. I got a chance to help kick off their year this morning with an amazing group of people like this. And there was energy, incredible energy in this place. And I think that as we get back to school, one of the things that's really important is to make sure that we're taking care of each other, as we move into the year, because the year's, we're going to blink and it's going to be April and we're going to try to figure out what's going on from there. But the people in Sterling were amazing today and they were just really jacked up about, kids coming, and they're doing some really, really innovative things here, which has really been fun to see. And, you know, from a brand perspective, if you take a look at the work that, Ted Everett and his staff are doing, it just like, it's a phenomenal brand presence, right now, which is really, really cool. And, to really connect with their community on a different level, has been really fun to talk to them about. So, Lindsay Stumpenhurst is in this district. She's done some incredible work on the national level as well in terms of, telling the story of Washington Elementary School. So really cool things. If you haven't checked out the work that's happening in Sterling, Illinois, please be sure to do so, because they're crushing it here. So I'm really excited, and I thank them for giving me some space to kind of do this webinar so we can continue to have this conversation. So we're going to talk about hacking leadership and the impact. And apparently this is you didn't know that this was like a concert, right? Cause I got my DJ headphones on. Like, I'm ready to rock right now. Like, this is going to be great. There's actually no music in this, but we're just going to have to, you can sing to yourself if you need to. That's fine. So we're going to talk about hacking leadership. My contact information is on the bottom there. That's real stuff. That's actually my wife's phone number, not mine. I'm kidding. That's my phone number. Give me a call or shoot me a text or whatever. If you have any questions about any of the stuff that we talk about, one of the things that's really important about leadership and the position that we find ourselves in is that we can't do this stuff alone. Like you can't feel like you're isolated all the time. Outside of your district, you already feel isolated inside of your district because you're the only person in your district that holds the job that you currently hold, or maybe one of a few. And when the final decision is made and it's across your desk, you got to figure out how to do that. And that can be a very isolating, prospect. And so the importance of connecting with other people across the country is really, 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 truly something that we need to think about as leaders, and moving forward, because we can't do this work alone. And there's people that are doing this work that you can connect with and that you can talk to and that can help you move to the next level, because, you know, we're all in this thing together, man. We're all in this thing for kids. We're all in this thing for adults. We want the adults to be in a spot that they can do their best work, and they can do their best work when they feel valued. And we're going to talk about all of those things today, over the course of our time here, talking about hacking leadership. So just a couple things about me, just to kind of get you started in the right spot. I am from Fall Creek, Wisconsin. And Fall Creek, Wisconsin is clearly the home of the Fall Creek Crickets. If you don't know that, we have a problem, people. We got a problem. Like, we are the Fall Creek Crickets. We will annoy the heck out of you. Give us the opportunity. We will take care of it. It's a vicious mascot. So I have been in Fall Creek. This is my 7th superintendent year in Fall Creek. And when I got to Fall Creek, I was the 5th superintendent in 6 years. So when you're the 5th superintendent in 6 years, you know, obviously the advice that you get is, you know, rent, don't buy anything. And you know, be careful, I guess, maybe the other thing. But I'm not that smart. So I actually bought the house across the street from school in Fall Creek, and invested in the community on that level. And it's been a relatively good experience so far. I mean, there was the one time that my then 5th grader tied my 4-year-old to a tree. And then and my kindergarten teacher took a picture of it and sent it to me and said, "Hey, how's your PBIS program working out?" I said, "Fine, she's not going anywhere." So, you know, what's funny about that is, like, I tell people that on some days, that's actually her least restrictive environment. She's crazy, right? But here's the thing. The thing about living across the street from school is that I live in the fishbowl. And when I live in the fishbowl, every interaction that I have throughout the course of the day can be monitored, can be, scrutinized, whatever. And what I realized when I was doing this work is the fact that it doesn't matter if you live across the street from school. You as the leader live in the fishbowl. That's what you do. And when you live in the fishbowl, you're going to get scrutinized for the work that you do. And not only are you going to get scrutinized for the work that you do, people are going to keep an eye on everything you do all the time. And that can be really, really unsettling. But at the same time, that's what it is. We can talk about right and real all day today. We can talk about it's not right that people feel that way. We can talk about that it's not right that people are on you all the time. But it's real. That's what it is. And we chose leadership. That's what we chose. So we got to figure out not only how are we making sure that the decisions that we make impact kids moving forward and that they're the best decisions, but we also have to understand that every interaction matters, because every interaction might be the one that they take away with them and go and talk to somebody else about. And that's a really, 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 taxing thought. At the same time, it's real, and we chose this, so we got to figure out how to do it. So when we talk to people about the impact of leadership and what we're doing, a lot of times we get into that mode, especially during this time of the year, where people are like, "Well, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to do this." And what we have to realize is, if you don't take time to grow as a leader, you are doing a complete disservice to your organization. And I understand that there's a lot of things to do during the day, we're going to talk about those later. And it's logistically, we have to figure out different ways that we can take care of those things without making them feel like they're overwhelming. And if we think about it differently, if we think about the fact that we need to be learners as well, then our action is different. If the only people learning in your organization, in your school, if the only people learning are ages 4 to 18, then you're doing it wrong. And if you're going to lead a learning organization, you need to lead the learning in that organization. And I'm not trying to like do these whole like drop truth bomb thing or anything like that. That's just what it is. Like, you can, you know, I'm not trying to like put something out there that's, you know, that's like a tweetable quote. That's just what it is, man. Like, that's it. Like, you chose leadership. Go get it. And there's a lot of really great things that come with leadership. There's a lot of things that aren't awesome that come with leadership. But at the same time, we chose to be in this spot. So let's figure out a way that we can work together to do that. So when you're thinking about what you're doing and how you're getting better as time goes on, understand that there are times that you have to pull away from the day-to-day operations of what happens. And we rarely do that because we're so fixated on what happens next. When you're so fixated on what happens next, you don't get a chance to really think about, is there a better way to do it? And if there's a better way to do it, are you willing to have that conversation about what that better way is to do it? So anyway, so when it comes to the work that we did in Hacking Leadership with one of my best friends in the world, Tony Sinanis, who is a superintendent in New York right now, assistant superintendent in New York. One of the things that was really important to us is to try to figure out ways that we as leaders could help other leaders get through the process of all the tough things that were happening. And what we did was we just asked a bunch of leaders, what were some things that were really, really difficult, are really, really difficult in schools? And from there, we kind of mapped out some different ways to do the work that we were doing when it comes to hacking leadership. So we found 10 things. Within the context of hacking leadership, or 10 things that were problems amongst a lot of organizations. And then we tried to figure out ways that we could help people, within the context of those spaces. So, the first section of the hacks, or the first three hacks, are being present, engaged, creating culture, and building relationships. That's about being intentional about the work that we do. The second three is really opening the doors, flattening the walls, broadcasting student voice, and centering school around kids. And then finally, building staff. How are we making sure that we hire superstars? We invoke some ownership of learning for our adults, and how are we developing collaborative workspaces so our adults can move forward in some capacity? So that's kind of what it came down to when we started building what that really looked like. And so there are 10 hacks in these in the book, and I've mentioned those already. And the book is really kind of brought down and bought, you know, into different parts. And we have to thank Mark Barnes for the hacking series and the opportunity that we had with him to write this book, and couldn't thank him enough for that. But every problem has a hack, an innovative solution to whatever that is. And so then we think about like what you can do with that situation tomorrow. How do you know, what's the blueprint for implementing it on the full scale level? What are you going to do when there's some pushback, with the new initiative? And then who in the country is doing, really well with that problem, handling that problem, and what are they doing to make sure that that happens? One of the things that's really important about the hack in action section is we asked everybody, you know, that we were going to put in the book, if it would be okay to put them in the book, but B, if we put them in the book, they're going to be accessible to people. So if you contact anybody that is in our hack and action section, you're going to get an answer from somebody. That was really important to us because we're trying to build capacity for people to learn. So those are all the pieces that we tried to put together when it came to hacking leadership and all the things that happened with that. And when we did that, we were trying to figure out ways to help everybody, because we were reading a lot of books that were like just giving us this, you know, a lot of, you know, really big, broad, general statements like all kids should learn, or we should empower learning. And that's all, you know, fantastic. I totally agree with all of that stuff. But don't just tell me that that's what we should do. Tell me how to do it. Give me the opportunity to do that in my own space. Give me some suggestions. Give me some people. What's it going to look like when we have a really well-intended initiative that just doesn't work because there's a bunch of pushback on it? And how are we going to respond to that pushback? Tell me that. Like, help me with those things. Because a lot of us in leadership positions, we're thrust into leadership positions without a ton of training when it comes to leadership. Yeah, we all went through leadership programs. That's great. But a lot of leadership programs are built on philosophy and building a budget and, you know, building a schedule and all of those things when it comes to school leadership. We're not talking about the actual art of leadership, the actual, you know, instructional component of what leadership really looks like. And a lot of times we were put into this position because we showed some initiative in terms of the work that we did. We interviewed really well. and move forward with that, or that people just felt like that we were approachable. And then here we go. Now we can lead. But we're not training leaders nearly well enough to move ourselves forward or move forward with the work that we're doing, because we pull back on the time and we just expect leaders to know what to do. And that's not fair to the leaders, because, you know, especially new leaders coming into the, you know, organizations, if they don't have the training, then all of a sudden they're thrust into a spot where they feel like they have to prove themselves. And sometimes when they try to prove themselves and they get out there too quickly to prove themselves, they end up, you know, really putting themselves in a tough position, because they're not, you know, they haven't taken the time to really dive in and build relationships within the context of their organization. But they don't know if they have that latitude, because it's their first leadership position. So it's not just about building relationships. It's telling me how to build relationships. It's telling me, like, what do we have to do to kind of get into the spaces where our staff is and lives, and really diving into those conversations. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And what I want you to think about when it comes to these pieces is it's all really about culture and trust when it comes to the work that we do. So when we think about what culture really does in the district, you know, we have to think about, what are we doing as an organization to build culture in your district? Because every interaction matters when it comes to the work that we do. And a lot of times, like we mentioned with the first slide, like, we don't know which interaction that they're going to take and move forward with. And that's not fair, because, you know, we might have a bad day from time to time. And that's not fair to the work that a lot of people are doing. But at the same time, that's kind of what, you know, that's what leadership is sometimes. Jimmy Casas often says leadership isn't, you know, doing what needs to be done when you know what to do. It's doing what needs to be done when you don't. Like, that's an opportunity that we have to really kind of consider. So the question becomes, what are you doing to make sure that you're building relationships and culture in your district when it comes to the work that happens? This is a great time of year to start that process at the beginning of the school year as you're moving forward. A lot of times we say, well, we build culture in the school district because at the beginning of the year we did that team building game where we shot the marshmallow across the room and everybody had a really great time. There's nothing wrong with shooting the marshmallow across the room and having a really great time. But if it's the only time that you ever talk about culture, then it's not really building culture, because everybody was required to be there. It's like the come to Jesus meeting, right? Come to Jesus meeting, everybody sits down at a table and you fix the issue. That doesn't build culture. It doesn't build culture because everybody was required to be there. It fixes the issue, but it doesn't build culture, because the conversations that happen after that meeting are really the things that build or kill culture. So what are we doing to make sure that we're having an open dialogue with people? How are you starting your day to build culture in your district? Do you start your day outside of your office? Do you start your day writing, you know, we're going to talk about notes and things like that. Do you start your day with conversations with kids? Do you start your day, you know, on a bus? Do you start your day, you know, meeting parents at the door? And a lot of times we feel like we don't have time for some of those things. At the same time, those are the things that are going to help you build the culture, so you don't have to feel like you're running 1,000 miles an hour with blinders on all the time, just trying to get stuff done. So think about what you're doing on a regular basis. What do you do? What have you done today to build culture in your district? And if you can't think of anything that you did, and don't say, like, I built great relationships. Well, tell me how you do that. Like, what did you do? Did you go into a room and have a conversation with somebody? Did you write a note to somebody? Did you make a call to the parent of one of your staff members? Did you call a student? What did you do? Like, those are things that we have to really be mindful of, because it's not just about the general statement of building culture. We do that so often. We're like, well, if we build great relationships with people, then the culture is going to move forward. Yeah, you're totally right. But tell me how. Let's talk about how you're doing it, not just that it's important to build relationships. Get down to the crux of what that really, really means, and then you find yourself in a much better spot. So when we were talking about, like, telling your school story and really creating a different culture in terms of the work that we were doing, it kind of goes back to when I started in Fall Creek. When I started in Fall Creek, I was the fifth superintendent in 6 years. So, like I mentioned, not real bright, bought the house across the street from school, but this was my name tag. I'm like, this, people, we got to understand what's really happening here. Okay. Like that, like they, like they're not messing around here. Okay. Like, look at this. Like, this is masking tape, people. That's masking tape. All right. They're just like, just pulling names. It looks like they're pulling names out of a hat almost. Right. And what ended up happening was there were a lot of people in the organization that didn't know what the superintendent did. So when they didn't know what the superintendent did, they tend to make up what the superintendent did. And that's not fair to the superintendent, but that doesn't matter because that's just the way that it works. When people don't know what you do, then they make up what you do. That's what happens. So if they think that you move papers from one side of your desk to the other, then that's what you do unless you can prove them differently. Now, we can talk about right and real all day. I don't believe that it's right that they feel that way. At the same time, is it real? It absolutely is real. 100% real that they feel that way. And it's based on what their past experience was, right? It happens in schools all the time, right? Like when people don't know what schools do, they make up what schools do. And a lot of times they make up what schools do based on what happened to them 25 years ago when they didn't get a second chicken sandwich at lunch or they got put against the wall at recess or they got a grade that they didn't deserve or a teacher hated them or whatever. That's the story that they tell over and over and over again because we allow them to tell the story instead of really being out there telling the real story of what's happening in your space. And so when they don't know what you do, they make up what you do. And that puts us in a really, really inauspicious position of making sure that we talk to people about the work that happens in our space as much as we can. So we're not stuck on the backside of that trying to answer questions that aren't true. So that's a big piece of what we do in our organizations because a lot of times what people see and what the story is not always the same thing. So we got to think about things just a little bit differently. Because they see a judgment of what's happening. I saw a great tweet on Twitter the other day. I was doing a session and one of the people in the session, one of the parts of the session is to take your phone out and do an activity on your phone. And so this woman tweeted that was happening during the session and she actually texted to her husband and her husband said, you know what? Well, it must be a really boring, you know, presentation because everybody's on their phone. Well, it probably was a boring presentation because I was doing it, but at the other side of it is like he had no idea what was happening there. And the irony of the whole thing is that the woman was texting him during the time with the picture because that was part of the activity. So we got to be in a spot where we understand that, you know, what they see and what's happening is not always the same thing. So we want to be really intentional about what that work really looks like. So, you know, being intentional is about making sure that we're building culture and relationships on a regular basis and understanding that, it's not about the thought, it's about the action. So we can, like, one of the things that we talk a lot about is the idea that, you know, there are probably people that have helped you get to a certain place in your life when it comes to your teaching career, your education career, your principal career, your leadership career, whatever. There's probably somebody that has helped you in that process. Well, when's the last time you talked to them about that? When's the last time you said thank you for that, right? When's the last time you said, you know, I really just thanks for being part of this journey? It's not about the thought. It's about the action on the thought. Anybody can think that they've gotten some help along the way, but the person that you're thinking about that has helped you along the way doesn't know that you think that way. And so tell them, you know, that's a big thing is to tell them what's actually happened in that space. The second thing that we talk a lot about is what are we doing to make sure that we're creating credibility through visibility? And a lot of times, like we said, when they don't know what you do, they'll make up what you do. That comes with lack of visibility. So if you're not there, they're going to make up what you do. And just being really intentional about being in spaces is incredibly important when it comes to the credibility of your position. Again, we could talk about right and real all day, but you know, a lot of times if they see you, they at least know that you're invested in that process. They also give you a little leeway when it comes to answering them from an email perspective or a text perspective if they know that you're out and about in the building, connecting with kids or connecting with teachers. So when we started, you know, if somebody would send me an email, I'd answer the email right away. Like within a minute, they'd get an email response. And then that turned into like it was really something I couldn't sustain, like an unsustainable, expectation. And so we had to kind of take a step back from that and say, okay, so, you know, if I want to be out and about, I have to be able to tell my staff that I'm not going to be able to respond to their email all the time. So we talked to them about, you know, if there's an emergency, text me. But if not, I'll check my email a couple times a day. But other than that, we're working with kids and, and connected with teachers and staff members. Now, if you say that and you're not out and about, then you're going to get crushed. But if you say that and you're there, you're going to develop some social capital when it comes down to it. And the building relationships, there are so many ways to do that. And the biggest part is just valuing people's A to B. So everybody's A to B is different. If they don't think that you value where their A is, where they've started this process, then they're never going to move to B, ever. So getting an opportunity to really build that piece of it that is really truly important when it comes down to the work that we do. And for us, it starts with how are we making sure that the culture works for everybody in that organization? How do we make sure that the culture works for the people that we're talking with? Because it's truly important that they know and understand that we're, you know, we want to be part of that conversation. So we're going to talk a little bit about culture in just a second, but I want to kind of give people an opportunity to ask some questions if they want, or I say that, and that's not really what I want. I just need to take a drink of water and hang for a second because, like, my voice is gonna go by like 2:42. So if you have a question or you want to ask anything, this would be a great opportunity to do that while I take a couple of drinks. I'll do this. There you go, people. So if there's anybody's got any questions, throw them in the chat box, and hopefully we can answer some of those questions best we can. But I'll give you 30 seconds or so to ask any questions before we get into the next part of this piece of it. All right. I can't wait 30 seconds. I don't have that in my system, people. I'm sorry. So if you have any questions, just put them in here at some point. I'll keep checking them from time to time. All right. So I'm going to put this back. So when we talk about culture and what that really looks like, you know, we always start there. And for us, culture starts with, are we able to trust the work that's happening in that space, right? So what are we really doing to make sure that every interaction matters? Because there are no neutral interactions. People either walk away feeling better or worse than when they walked into an interaction. So that's an important component of what we do, just being in that spot. You know, my friend Jimmy Casas, like, calls, do you guys have these people, these awfulizers? These are the people that will awfulize everything. Like, you have a conversation with them and they will turn it into awfulizing everything, like literally everything. These are the people that, like, when the Powerball is $450 million, they're like, yeah, but after taxes, it's really not that much. Right? Like, what's going on with these people? Like, you can't help these people, right? But a lot at the same time, we're dealing with these people a lot, right? And it's that not even, I'm not talking about the teaching staff or any staff, I'm talking about people outside of the organization. Everybody's got something to say. And a lot of times they want to knock you down. And if you don't have the right answer, you're going to find yourself in a different, difficult position. There's we talked about the idea that we have to think about different ways to do things. I think there's a distinct, so I think that there's been a transition when it comes to people talking about the work that's done in schools, and we stopped being proud of the work that we're doing in schools and we started defending the work that we're doing in schools. And I think that's two completely different things, because when you're proud of the work, you say something in the hopes that you get some sort of, you know, encouragement in the process, in that conversation. When you're defending, you're waiting for them to say something bad so you can defend again. And that's a totally different mindset when it comes to the conversation of what we're doing. So for us, we just think about, like, what does that look like from a culture perspective? And culture in Fall Creek is really about trust. Do the people in the organization trust the work that's happening? And are they willing to move forward with that trust when it comes to the work that we're doing? So I think a lot of times when we think about our communities, we have to think about the idea that people are still locked into a situation, they're still locked into a feeling that they had 15, 20, 25 years ago when they went to school. And a lot of times that's not always the best thing. And for us, I feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't see us as an investment. They see us as something that they have to pay for. Nationally, like 75% of the voting public do not have kids in school. So if that's the case, then they don't know what's happening in your place. So they end up thinking that it's something that they pay for as opposed to something that they invest in. And so when it's something that they have to pay for and they're not seeing a return on that investment, then they tend to talk about how bad it is because they don't have an investment in it. Well, when my kids went to school, it was this, or my kids aren't in school anymore, so I don't think I should have to pay for blah, blah, blah. It's not an investment for them because they don't see it. So we have to think about ways that we can invest in the community moving forward. Sterling does a phenomenal job here. So one of the requirements that Tad Everett does here with his administrative staff is like they have to be part of a community organization, a community group, Rotary or library crew or, you know, youth sports or whatever the case may be. They have to be a part of that. Their administrative team needs to be a part of that as part of their job description and part of their contract. And in doing that, he has to make sure that they have time to do that. But just as importantly, you're making a connection with everybody in the village, or, I'm sorry, in the city or in the county or in the area, in the region, because you have people from the school that are on the boards that are talking about the school. I think it's a brilliant idea, just an absolutely brilliant idea, because it allows us to have a voice at the table where we're being talked about in a number of different circles. So that's one way we would do things outside of the organization. Inside of the organization, I think we have to think about how are we making sure that our people feel value. And, you know, we do things like sending notes to the spouses of our staff members, you know, to make sure that they know and understand how much they're valued, or 100 calls on the 100th day of school to kids. And those are things that happen throughout the course of the year, but at the same time, they only build culture if you're willing to, continue to have conversations about what they really look like. So, this is in our boardroom. Our board faces these pictures, and before board meetings, we'll stand up and say, let's never forget why we make decisions in the school district. And then we go on with the Pledge of Allegiance and so forth and so on. So that's getting the visuals of kids doing some really incredible things is really, truly important. The giveaway, staff personal days. This is a great idea from Deerfield, Illinois, and the work that they were doing Engage 109, District 109 in Deerfield. And they call it their holiday presents gifts, which is essentially they give away personal days the week before the holiday break. So we've started doing this as well. So we've done library media specialists. We've done, you know, physics in second grade, fourth grade, eighth grade. Last year we did a custodian and worked in the kitchen and those kind of things. So the central office staff takes over and then the person gets a free day to do what they want with. And it really, you know, I think it really helps along the way build culture, because people in those spaces then see that you're willing to be part of that space with them. So anyway, these are all part of Hacking Leadership, and they're all in the book. And the thing about the book that's really important is that we gave a book to some of our staff members before we started. Tony and I both did. Said, read it. And if there's anything in here that's not real, we need to talk about it. We won't print it, because I think that we want to make sure that the stuff that we're talking about is grounded in good practice. And a lot of times grounded in good practice means it's got to be real to you. And for us, you know, that was a big deal. So one of our teachers came, and my teachers came in after she read it and said this. And that's when I knew it was real, because it wasn't your school, not the school, it's our school. And that's the word that we're looking for when it comes to the work that we're doing. It's what are we making sure that we do when it comes to all of these things, because it's our school, not just, you know, the school or your school. So that's the component of being intentional, being present and engaged, creating culture and building relationships. And in doing that, we find ourselves, these are some of the big ideas that we can, you know, kind of move forward with. Notes to staff members, we talked about covering a class, doing the personal days. Well, I like to start our day with two positive notes to staff members. And now, do I get it every day? Nope. But you know what? If I can get 3 days a week where I can get two positive notes to staff members, it gets me out of my office to walk down the hallway, give those staff members the two notes, and then have a good conversation with them about whatever. But it also changes the way that I walk through hallways, because I'm looking for positive things to say, because the next day I'm going to write those notes, and I know I am. And if making 5 positive phone calls at the end of the week is one of the best things that you can do to put your mind at ease, because a lot of stuff happens throughout the course of the week. If you know you're going to end your week with a couple of positive calls to parents to end your week, you know, you find yourself in a much different position, because, you know, your mindset is different going into some time where you should get some relaxation and connect with your family, because, you know, your network is important too, moving forward. All these ideas are also at hacklead.org. If you go there, you can see each one of the hacks and what you can do with it and that kind of thing. So those are all, you know, truly just resources for you as we kind of move forward. So those are that's as we get through the first part. Anybody got any questions about being intentional or the work that we're doing? Okay, hang on, we got some. All right. Just can't think of it. What staff culture resources book do you? Oh, great question, Mark. So some of the when it comes to staff culture resource books, do I recommend that the book that I would recommend first and foremost when it comes to school culture is Culturized by Jimmy Casas. Without question, hands down, the best book that I've read on culture when it comes to building staff, without question. And I think that's an important piece that I think that we can move forward with. That not only is it, there's a lot of great stories within it, it's practical application of the work that you can do. So that's that. Okay, next question is, how do you engage with the outlier, the teacher who consistently brings a negative perspective? Oh, that's a great question, David. Thank you for asking it. So just to kind of get off script a little bit here and talk about things just a little bit differently. Let's see, let me get over to here and go like that. Okay, so off script just a little bit. So I honestly believe that organizations are built into different levels, five levels or six levels, depending on whose research that you read. Schlechte has five levels, you know, trailblazers, pioneers, standby, stay-at-homes, saboteurs. Everett Rogers calls them innovators, early adopters, five levels. When I did my dissertation research, I wasn't as smart as those guys, so I just called them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So here's the thing about those groups, and we'll just kind of get to that level five group, that negative presence that we're talking about. Okay, so let's say that you need your staff to get to the other side of the wall. Okay, and you say, I need you to run through that wall. The first group just starts running. Group one, they're like, they just go. They take off, they're out of there, right? And they run into the wall, run. They'll hit it 1,000 times and then they'll get through it. The second group says, I like it. I like the idea. I want a little credit for being one of the first people to go through the wall, but I'm going to wait just a little bit until that first group like takes a bunch of the shots and then I'm going to come with it. The third group says, I don't want to go. I don't like it. I don't think I'm going to like it over there. I like it right here. I'm going to stick right here. And I'm going to wait until those two groups are through. And then I'm going to wait till there's a nice little trim around the door that they've now created in the hole in the wall. And then I'll walk my stuff through. But it needs to be wide enough where I can bring some of my stuff. The fourth group says, I'm not going. You can't make me go. I don't want to go. I'm going to walk as slowly as I can to that door. Because my hope is that at some point there's going to be a change in leadership and there'll be another wall that I can slowly walk to on the other side. And the fifth group says, not only am I not going to go, I'm going to take every single brick in this school district and I'm going to put it up against that wall before the first group starts running through it so they get hurt even more. So there's two different groups here that you're talking about. That's what I wanted to get to it, David, before we got to those, because four and five are the group that we're talking about. Needs to make sure that they're connected to the threes or to the group ahead of them, because we want to make sure that they have some say, some ownership in the process, even if it's not, you know, kind of where they're going. The group five, the one that's just totally negative and hurtful, is different because they're not going to move no matter what. What you want to do is, so there's two different ways to handle these people. So the group four, if you feel like they will move on some level, but they're negative a lot, and they're negative because they've been hurt in some capacity. They don't feel value in some capacity. So they're afraid to move because they're afraid to be hurt again. So with this group, you want to make sure that you value where they are. Okay. So where they are, we always talk about valuing people as A to B. Even if you don't love where their A is, you still have to value it to help them get to B. And that journey takes some time sometimes, but you have to value where they're at. And if you do that, they'll go. It just might take a little bit longer than you would have hoped. The group five, there's two ways to handle this group. The first thing is if they're doing harm to kids, then you have a real hot conversation about that's not appropriate. That's not where we're at. You need to change where we're at, or we need to figure out something else that we're going to do, because, you know, when it comes to kids, there's just, it's just non-negotiable. We're not going to do any harm to kids. If it's just that they're kind of floating and they don't want to do the initiative, and they end up getting negative a lot, there's, you know, you have to have that conversation with them. But these fives, they're not pulling the ones and twos up to the side and telling them, you know, why the initiative is so bad. They're pulling the threes and fours all the time. So we take the threes and fours and move them up and connect them to a different level. You take the fours and you say, you know, I know that you're not really into this piece of it, but you know what? You're really good at X, Y, or Z. Is there a way that you could go and talk to this person who would be a one or a two and just have a conversation with them about what you're doing in this area, because you're really good at that. Now, don't make that up. I mean, find something that they're really good at, so they value that. And then when they go talk to that person, that one, two, or three, now they're connected to somebody else. So they're not, you know, they're not falling to that group five where all that negativity is. So you move them up, and then you create this chasm where those fives are just going to, you know, they're just going to be. And they're not causing harm to kids, and they're just, they don't want to do the initiative. I don't spend a lot of time there. Why am I going to spend a lot of time with people that don't want to move when I have people that do want to move, and we want to move them as fast as we can? So I hope that kind of gets to where you're at. But if you need any more clarification, David, please just throw that in there, please. Okay. So the next, I'm getting really like, yeah. Sorry about that, everybody. So anyway, the next step is how are we making sure that we're opening doors for people to make sure that they're doing their best work? And I think that there's a lot of people, I mean, you've seen this before, right? Everybody's seen this, what people think success looks like and what it really is. I like to dive into this side just a little bit more because I think there's real value in this piece of it, because I think this is what a lot of people think that your job is, like everything just kind of works. And I would love for it to be like this. I would love this. Like, I'd love to go to a conference or workshop, network, great idea, bring it back to school, staff cheers, colleagues cheer, win an award. Like, I would love that. Let's do that all day. Give me that all day. Give me that. That's not how it works though, people. Not how it works at all. So like, you get to this place where, you go to a workshop and you get a great idea, and that great idea, the staff groans, and all of a sudden you come back to it, you try it, and then they're like, you know, then you get something from the board that makes you want to change stuff, and then all of a sudden the break is coming, and then you see your funding, and then it's just like, it all goes to heck. You know, that's kind of the way that it works. I get that. And here's the thing about this space right here. The space right here, this is where all the tough conversations happen. This is where all of the tough conversations at the board level, this is where all the tough conversations at the, with your superintendent, with whoever happen. But at the same time, this is where all the good stuff is too. We just don't recognize it because we're so caught up in all the bad stuff that's happening. You know, you kind of have to weed some of that stuff out. A lot of times it happens because we try to change too much at one time. My friend Brad Saron is a superintendent in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. And I'll tell you, he's one of the best superintendents in the country. And one of the things that he says to his group all the time is the idea that when you try to change too much, you don't change anything. And he equates it to an airplane. Like, when an airplane takes off, it doesn't go straight up. It just changes the contour of the wing a little bit and gives it a little bit more thrust. That's what gives it lift. When you think about all the things that are happening in your space, don't try to change so many things that you change nothing. Find a way to connect and change one thing and do it really well, and that gets you to the next level when it comes to giving yourself lift moving forward. So we talk, you know, we could go into the, you know, flattening the walls of your schools and broadcasting student voice. We could do that like forever, because when it comes down to that work, I'll tell you that like the idea that we have to keep in mind is a lot of people are talking about your school. And if you don't have any say in what that looks like, then you're going to find yourself in a spot where you're always trying to defend. Flattening the walls of your school means making sure that people outside of the building know exactly what's happening inside of the building, even if they don't love what's happening inside of the building. You know, broadcasting student voices is something we're going to talk about in just a little bit when it comes to podcasting. But the idea there is just making sure that you get an opportunity to get the voice of people out as much as you possibly can, because the true voice of what's happening in your space is amazing. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be talking about that. But we're afraid to say something because we're afraid of what people are going to say about the great work that's happening, because it wasn't the great work that happened 25 years ago that they're still jacked up about. So, you know, our teachers deserve us to be out there being the champion for the work that they do, so we can combat the work that people are talking about from 25 years ago. That's our job, right? So the last part of that is making sure that we're building staff in this process. When it comes to building the staff, we think about things in three different connections. How do we onboard? How do we own? How do we connect? Onboard, own, connect. Our biggest job as leaders is to make sure that the right people are in the right spot. and we develop excitement for what that really looks like when it comes to the team that you're working with. And the last part, which we talked about a little bit earlier, is making sure that the only learners in your building, people that are ages 4 to 18 aren't the only learners within your building. So when adults want to learn, they will. And that's, I mean, they will. They just will. So creating that opportunity for people to be, you know, a lot of times people won't, you know, own their learning because they're afraid they've been blasted on it before. And there's this notion out there that is just, I just think it's false. People are talking about how people, you know, like kids fear failure. We feel we're afraid to fail. We're not afraid to fail on things that we own. We're afraid to fail when we don't know what the results are going to be or what the reaction is going to be, right? If you think kids are afraid to fail, go find me one kid that played Fortnite this summer and died on his first guy and then quit. It just doesn't happen, man. So when they know that they have ownership of it, then they're going to keep going with it. So the same thing with staff. When they know that they have ownership of it, they're okay to fail as long as they know that they have some kind of ownership of the process. And I would love that. I mean, when you think about professional development, nobody thinks about it like this at all. They think about it like, you know, you sit down and you get professionally developed from 3:15 to 3:45 on a Tuesday. It doesn't help anybody, right? They're not getting any better at that time. You may need to have some information that needs to get out, but when they own it, then they find themselves in a much different spot. So in Fall Creek, we talk about it in three different components: professional growth as opposed to professional development. We use the hero's journey model, which is the monomyth theory from Joseph Campbell. And we use something called My3, which really helps the process of having great conversations about that work. So let's talk about the professional growth piece first. When we talked to our staff about professional growth and building staff, it was really about how are we making sure that people get out of their comfort zone in some capacity. So we use Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey for that, where we tell people this is the monomyth theory, and it's essentially the story of every hero's journey story, every hero story that you would read or see, you know, Star Wars, Harry Potter, the Hunger Games, all of that follow the hero's journey path where there's somebody starts in a known world, they get into the unknown world, they find a mentor, they get to the bottom where death or dying happens, they transform to something different and they go back up to the top where they started, but everything looks different because they went on this adventure. So we want people to feel that way within the context of what we do. And so hopefully in doing that, we find ourselves giving people or allowing them to do, you know, different things. In the book, it's the passion projects for adults, which is what we have been doing with our group for the last 5 years. And it was built by teachers, man. Our teachers built this process of professional growth. And I am so, like, I'm smiling about it, just thinking about it. They built this, like, our teachers are killing it, man. They are crushing. If you, like, you think any of this stuff makes sense that we're talking about, you need to call our teachers. Like, you need to talk to the people in Fall Creek, Wisconsin. You need to talk to the group that built this process. You need to have your teachers talk to them, because my people are crushing it. They are absolutely crushing it. And not only are they crushing it from a learning perspective, but that's transferring into the ownership that they give to kids. And it's just been a seamless process that has worked because it was owned by the staff. And I couldn't be more proud of the work that they do on a daily basis. And the idea that we're in a spot where, God, they're so awesome. They're so awesome. So let me just tell you a little bit about this piece of it first. We might not get to everything now that I think about it, because this is really important. When we talk about ownership of learning for them, it's really important to understand that when they own it, they're going to go above and beyond what they do. So what we do is they pick a passion project. Our staff picks a passion project, and then they take that passion project, you know, to their classroom. How are they going to change their instruction? And how are they going to, you know, live their passion through that? And what does that really feel like? Because when it came down to it, when we were looking at, like, data, we were thinking, well, you know, our data is, our subsets are so small that if we say, well, we want to improve, you know, student achievement by 15% with this group of kids. Well, if 5 kids move out and 5 kids move into our district, it completely changes the data set for us. So it's really unreliable data. So what we said was, why don't we just create better teachers? Like, why don't we just, like, value where they're at and allow them to get better? And they do, man, they do. So anyway, they pick a passion project and then they go through the year. We give them time, resource, and opportunity. Those three things, time, resource, and opportunity to get better at the work that they do. Excuse me. And once they do that, they really own the process. So time, resource, and opportunity throughout the course of the year. Up until last year, at the end of the year, when they've taken this journey in terms of how they've gotten better as an instructor, and they used to turn it into me, and I would read all these like reflections, and I loved them. They just had to demonstrate their learning. They didn't have to do a reflection. They just had to demonstrate it. Some people did videos. Some people did podcasts. Some people did reflections. Some people had a meeting with me. Some people had their kids have a meeting with me. I mean, it just didn't matter. So I was like listening to all these things, and I'm thinking, this is amazing. Why am I the only one that gets a chance to watch this stuff or look at this stuff? And I'd text these people on the weekend when I'm reading through these things, and I'd be like, you crushed it, man. This is amazing. I can't believe this work, and it must be so proud. And then, so this year we were like, you know what? Why am I the only person? So this year, instead of like them turning it into me, we had a street fair. And the street fair was, it was like a set up like a vendor hall where you put up your display of learning and what you learned throughout the course of the year. And you had to demonstrate your learning to your colleagues. So you want to talk about like up in the game a little bit. When they wrote stuff down for me, even though it was great, it was still what I wanted, what they thought I wanted to hear. But you can't fake it when you're talking to your colleagues. So now they're going to present to their colleagues and talk about their learning journey. Man, the stuff went off the chart when it came to the work that happened, off the chart. And then you take that, and all of a sudden, and you go to a different level, and instead of just like having, them, you know, demonstrate their learning to their colleagues, what if you live stream it? Then you live stream it, and now the audience isn't just the people in that room. The audience is the world. We had 22,000 people view the live stream. So when our staff knows that 22,000 people watch them demonstrate their learning, now they know the audience is bigger. And when the audience is bigger, you perform differently, right? When the audience is bigger, you perform, you know that you're out there for other people to see. And that's a big deal. So the audience went from 1 to 60 to 22,000. And when that happened, people changed the way that they did things. Okay. So that's where the connections came in terms of the work that we did. And we just did, you know, more than, and I kind of talked about that when it comes to social media and live streaming, some of those things. Like when it comes to the work that we do, it gets to be a little bit mind boggling. And in doing that, sometimes we think, like, I think about it like a remote, right? Like I have, I got like 260, you know, channels on my dish at the same time. I watch like 9 of them. Okay. Like I want to be able to choose that, but you want to really have choice in what that really looks like. So, so in doing that, we try to connect our people with the connections through some of these, you know, some of these things. We use Twitter. We use podcasts. Podcasts are a great way for people to share their voice. And you can use podcasting apps like Anchor or Spreaker or, Podbean or Boss Jock or Audio Boom, and all of those are able to kind of get yourself to a place where you can get the word of your staff out on a regular basis. We connected people to Voxer so we could do book studies and discussions in groups. And that really gave us the momentum to try to figure out like what that really looked like in the long run. The last thing we do is we tell them that we do something called My Three. And My Three is we have them write down three things that would have to happen throughout the course of the day to make that day successful. And we have them post that close to their desk. So when we go in as administrators, we can take a look at those three and make sure that we leave feedback on one of those three things. Because if we're creating or providing feedback on something that they value, then they know that we're there to help them value their A to B, whatever that A to B really is. And I didn't think about, you know, I didn't think about the impact of what this really looked like until a couple of years ago when we, about this process in terms of building staff really looked like until a couple of years ago when we took a group to model schools, in Orlando. This is a group that we took down there, and they got a chance to present on a national stage. And as they walked through the hallways of this national conference with their Fall Creek stuff on, people started to notice who they were because they recognized the FC, they recognized the Go Cricket stuff, they recognized all of this stuff, and they started to ask questions. And when they came back, they did the presentation for the board, and when they got done with the presentation, the board members asked them how their trip was, and Jess White, who's the second from the right in that picture, looked at her team, looked at me, looked at the board, and said this. And here's the thing about this. When it comes down to it, we have to understand. We have to understand the idea that when we make people feel like this, when we make people feel like rock stars, when we make people feel like they can do things that they never thought possible, then they will. Our job as leaders is to try to find a way to make people feel like they can do things that they've never thought they could do before. And when they feel like that, then they're going to perform like that. And when they perform like that, kids are going to win. So That's, I'm gonna close it there because I want, you know, a chance for people to ask any questions that you may have. But that's all I got, man. I think that we do a lot of really fun stuff. At the same time, you know, we got to really be in a spot where we're feeling like we can build people up along the way. So I'm just gonna let it, ride out. If there's any questions that that people need or want to ask at this point, this would be a great time to do that. I think I got all the questions here, so I'll wait on it for just a minute or two. And if there's nothing else that I can do for you, you have my contact information. Who's on the first slide? Call me, text me, email me, find me on Twitter, do whatever you need to. But let's do this thing together, because when it comes down to it, we're in this thing together, man. We're in this thing together. And if we're not working with each other to try to make it better for everybody, then what are we really doing? So anything I can do to help you, just let me know. I'm still around, so please feel free to ask any questions. I just stopped sharing my screen because I couldn't stand looking at me. So thanks, David. I appreciate it. I kind of go off the cuff. You know, there's, you know, the slides are out there. The general slides are out there. We kind of added a couple here just for the storytelling aspect, but go to hackleed.org. It's got all the stuff that you really need when it comes to the work that we're doing. Oh, and also if you go to Hacking Leadership, there's also a piece in there. I'm going to take you there while I've got you here. So .hacklead. Okay. If you go to hacklead.org, and you go to the video library, click on video library, and there's a bunch of videos that'll take you to some of the stuff that we're doing. But if you click right here, the Social Media Superhero Companion Guide, that's one thing that's been really popular for people. And you can take a look at, like, how do we define our identity? How do we message? What's the intent? How do we build a brand? How do we become an expert? Blah, 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 all that stuff. So that's all there. If you feel like you need some help in that capacity, you certainly can do that. So feel free to do that at any time. And if that's all I got, if nobody's got a question, then we're going to get you out of here. And I wish you the best of luck as you start your school years. Remember that you as the leader are the variable. So don't hesitate to reach out and see if there's anything that we can do to help out. But more importantly, be present, be engaged, be in the moment with your staff, and just go get it for kids, man. Just go get it. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. And all of the Lacrosse people. Love you guys. If Kurt's there, tell him I said hi.
Okay, many thanks to everyone who's participated today. Thank you, Joe, for stepping up and sharing your knowledge and expertise. I really love the thought, you know, don't try to change so many things that you change nothing. That's yep. Profound. So we thank you for all of the things that you shared today. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, we want to remind you that today's presentation has been recorded and will be posted on the NASP website soon in video and podcast format. So you can use your NASP member login to go back and review and tap into some of these great things that Joe has shared with us today. So as always, if NASP can ever assist you in your professional journey, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. And we hope everyone has an awesome afternoon. Thank you again.